Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 262. And our guest today bringing us her dream to explore is Molly from New York. Now, we've just finished recording our exploration of Molly's dream, and here I am putting the beginning of the show on. And for those of you who have maybe never listened to The Dream Show before, I'd just like to explain that what we do is somebody anywhere in the world puts their hand up and says, I'd love to volunteer to be a guest on the show. I want to bring a dream for us to explore. And I say, that's great. That's fantastic. Here are all the technical details. This is how we're going to do it. But do not tell me the dream until we start to record. And I do this because you all tell me, many of you tell me, that you love to hear me hear the dream at the same time as you do, and to hear how we explore it from there. So as always, that's what you're going to get here. If you book a private consultation with me, we do it differently. I ask you to send me your dream at least 24 hours before, and it gives me time to really explore it deeply before we speak. But what you get here is a jump in, and I love that, the jump in and the exploring of this dream. And I know you're going to love this one. It's got some great symbols and excitement, lots of animals in it too. And we go to some interesting places, which I know you're going to enjoy. Before we go there, just a reminder of the websites. JaneTeresa.com, that's Teresa without an H, is where you can go to listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been, all 262 and counting. Of course, you also get those, all the usual podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, just about anywhere that you download and listen to your podcast, you can get us. If you go that way, search for The Dream Show with Jane Teresa Anderson, and it will come up very quickly. At my website at janeteresa.com, you can also read hundreds of blogs that I've written about dreams and dreaming. You can discover my books and my ebooks. I'm an author of seven books. And you can also find out how to consult me privately. And you can also link through to my e-learning website, which is the Dream Academy. Now, at the Dream Academy, you can enroll to do courses online. And they start with how to interpret your dreams step by step, and they continue on from there. The address for that is dream-academy-online.com, or you can get there direct from janeteresa.com. At the Dream Academy, at least the first two courses you do, you go at your own pace, in your own time, you watch videos of me speaking, you download the notes, you fill in charts, and it goes from there. So let's get on with what you've really come here to listen to today, which is Molly's dream. Welcome to The Dream Show, Molly.
Thank you.
And you are in New York?
I'm in New York.
And it's the end of your day?
Yes.
have you had a good day?
yeah, a very long day, but Tuesday's my busiest day, but it's been a good day.
A long day, but a good day. And your brain's still active to go through a dream. So as always, I have no idea what dream anybody's going to bring. I just know that you said that you had enticed me, whatever the word that you were that painted the picture of your dream enticed me without telling me anything about it. So I'm all ears. What would you like to describe your dream?
Yes, I wrote it down. So I hope it's okay if I just read it.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm on a big ramp or bridge. It's metal and it reminds me of the gangplanks that go onto ferry boats. And my family and maybe friends are in kind of indistinct large group of people walking behind me. But I'm walking ahead with Anna, who's a person who I've recently started talking to in a romantic context, but it's complicated. And we start to fly. I'm sort of explaining about her to my family at the same time. And I accidentally misgender her twice. Twice I refer to her as a he. And I don't actually remember anything else of what I was saying to them about her. I just remember that. But meanwhile, Anna and I are flying and my legs are lifting up and we're moving faster and faster, kind of zooming across the bridge together. And it's exhilarating, and we hold hands. And then we let go of hands, and I land, and I find a way to land on my feet towards the left, away from everyone. And I feel confident. I remember thinking, I feel confident that I can land. But then I actually crash down in the dark and fall. And I realize that I'm surrounded by sea lions or giant walrus type creatures who also come flying in and surround me. I'm a little scared because they're huge and almost look like mountains, and it's dark and I can't quite figure them out. I notice that there's light shining behind them, so they're backlit and particularly dark in front. And I get up slowly and I find a way to get past them, and I realize they're not that dangerous. And then I'm in an enormous library of children's books, and my cousin Rosanna is there, and she's so excited because we're both just starting at this university where they have this whole children's book library. And I realize I should be looking up books for the art classes I teach, and the mood is very happy and excited. Mm. And that's it, or that's all I remember.
So I had I remember now you said about your dream when you contacted me. I can't tell you about the dream, but it's got full of emotion and I get that. So ended on a really a very up kind of mood and excitement mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. the yes, yeah. And a wonderful animal section in the middle, which I love. Yeah. And yes. The flying. Fantastic. Okay, so I'd actually probably quite like to jump right in the middle and look at mm-hmm. the sea lions and walruses.
I agree.
So they were flying. They normally live in the ocean, but these ones were flying in.
Yeah, they flew in and surrounded me.
And when you saw them flying, did they have like wings or were they just like their normal shape and kind of coming in like planes or?
Yeah, it's like they were in almost in like the seated position already, and they just like zoomed in and got closer and were around me.
Mm. So they're the kind of seated position. And of course, we always have to be careful with that word zoomed these days, because although it was a word we used a lot and you used in the context of flying fast, it does also have a bit of a double meaning these days as well. You know, in some sense, like I'm seated and you're zooming into me.
Well, that's true. I mean, they were smaller in the distance, and then they became larger and closer and surrounded me.
All right. Okay. So yeah, it became larger. And then when they actually flew in, they were huge. They were like the size of mountains, you said.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, they looked like mountains. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. How did you feel? I know there came a point where you got past them and then they weren't that dangerous, but how did you feel when you saw them coming in when they were quite small?
That moment passed very quickly. Like, I kind of know that happened, but it wasn't very long. Like, mm-hmm. very quickly after I myself landed and realized I had not landed on my feet, but fallen in the dark and was sort of in a dark corner, very quickly I was then surrounded by these walrus sea lion creatures.
Mm. And did you get a feeling that they landed on their feet or on their tummies or on their bellies or on their bottoms, or did they also crash?
No, they didn't crash. They landed neatly.
They landed neatly. Hmm. So when you think about a sea lion first, what are your feelings mm-hmm. about sea lions in terms of their personality or their approach to life?
Generally positive. I mean, I can't say I think about them that much, but generally very positive associations. I love the sea and I love sea mammals of all kinds. I grew up in Vancouver, British Columbia, and I often would see harbor seals there, and I love seals, which I guess is something I interact with more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also, on the other hand, I guess I should add that, so this dream was a couple weeks ago now. But just a few days ago, when I was thinking about it again, I remembered that this summer my sister and I had learned the Latin name for sea lion, and we liked it. We joked it would be a good baby name.
Ah, can you remember now what it is?
Yeah, it's Zalo, I think, or it's longer than that, but the first four letters are Zalo.
Zalo, as in Z-A-L-O.
Yeah.
Mm, got Zalo and Zooming. Zalo, baby name. And the walrus is much the same kind of symbolism for you? Much the same kind of feelings.
Yeah, I once drew a picture of a walrus and I have it in my room. It's a little picture. I like them.
Ah, so that picture that you have, what do you associate? Like when you drew it, was it one of your first drawings? Did you do it at a particular time?
Yeah, I did it like maybe, yeah, I drew it for a sort of New Year's card I sent out in 2017. And I remember being pleased with the drawing and liking it, and I don't know, I have positive associations.
Yeah. Can you remember what made you decide to draw a walrus?
I kind of like unusual, quirky creatures.
Okay, so we've got unusual and quirky added to our list now of what these beasts mean.
Yeah, I guess
Unusual,
so. Or just, not your go-to cat or dog.
Yes, love it. Not your go-to cat or dog. I'm just writing that down. Unusual
Okay.
and quirky, not your go-to cat or dog. I love it. I love it, Molly. And yet there's also the sense there when you were talking about the sea lions and saying that when you were in Vancouver, you liked the harbour seals. And there's a sense to me when you said it that the harbour seals are close, well, literally closer to home. Whereas the sea lions in the dream and the walruses in the dream came from a long way from home, from way up in the sky somewhere, and zoomed up large. But you also saw them as sea lions, from the greater ocean rather than the harbour seals closer to home. So there's this kind of sense in that dream of something that you, an energy that is close to home that you like the harbour seals, but in this dream has a. Is related to that, but it's something that's coming from much further away and is coming very, very close to home in the dream, like totally surrounding you. And the energy has an unusual, quirky quality, not your usual go-to cat or dog. So there's a sense there of, because often, obviously we can't take a dream dictionary approach because every dream is unique, but often we will have animals in our dreams when our unconscious mind might otherwise put a person in a dream to represent a particular characteristic or approach to life, but you're not really conscious enough or aware enough of an aspect of your life to put a face on it that you know. And that's when our dreams can sometimes bring up animals. So it's more like it's an instinct or an energy that you're getting in contact with about yourself and that your dreaming mind feels more comfortable expressing at this stage as an animal.
Okay.
And in the dream that energy of yourself comes from way into the from way out there in the distance and very fast, faster than you can even recognize it, it's something that you can't see, zooms right into focus and plonks right down inside you. Beside you. So it's like at the time of that dream 2 weeks ago, at least unconsciously, there was a sudden shift to, oh my goodness, there is something about me. Me and my life that I am recognizing is more unusual and quirky than your usual go-to cat or dog, and I'm a little bit sort of scared about it because it's huge and mountainous. And yet, when I get past that feeling, it's not that dangerous. Maybe I can become comfortable with that. So that's where we're going to go back to the beginning of the dream, but we're sort of coming in to look at that energy in the middle. Are you okay with this so far? Okay. It's also interestingly enough that you said that more recently you were thinking about the dream and there was the Latin name for the walrus which began with Zallo and you thought, oh, that could be a good baby name. So unless you're thinking about actual babies, that sense of a baby is a sense of something new in your life, something being born. So it's kind of, maybe if you ever did know the Latin name of that creature before your dream, we sometimes are unaware of what we actually
Oh, I
know.
did.
Oh,
I
you
did know
did?
it. No,
Okay.
I learned about it this summer with my sister, and we really, like before the dream, and we really spoke about how it would make a nice baby name.
Okay, so it was before. Sorry, I misunderstood that. That's great. So you've got that sense of this beautiful, huge, mountainous energy thing that appears in your dream, which is a part of yourself, is also associated perhaps with something that could be new and exciting in your life that you would give a name to. Give a name to. There's an energy in my life or something happening I would like to give a name to. I would like to put a name on this. I'm jumping, but this is just me, to the fact earlier in the dream where you misgendered Anna putting mm-hmm. a name on her or mm-hmm. whatever gender she goes by, and putting a he on yeah. Anna. Yes. So there may be a naming and putting a name on something. But let's go to the very beginning of your dream.
Okay.
You've got, I'm reading my notes as I took them, so I hope I can read them. You've got a ramp or a bridge, which is like reminds you of gangplanks onto ferry boats. Do ferries play a role in your everyday life?
Yes, because I just spent the summer in Vancouver, BC, where the seals are, where also there's a lot of, like, there's a big ferry system that goes to different islands.
Mm. So to some extent, you associate the ferry boats with Vancouver, which is where you were born and brought
up. Yes, and yeah. I also associate them with Anna, who works for the ferry company there.
Oh, okay. She works for the company. So we're right into Anna. But the dream didn't start on the ferry boats. It started mm-hmm. with contemplating getting on the boat. You didn't actually get on the boat. At what point did you start to fly?
While on this ramp.
Yes. Okay. So you were on the ramp, but hadn't actually got on the boat.
No.
But you started to fly then. Yeah.
The boat didn't end up making an appearance. There was no boat.
There was no boat. Okay. So describe to me the function of a gangplank. A gangplank.
It's like a bridge from the mainland onto the boat. It's quite wide, the one I was thinking of, because like cars can even drive over it.
Hmm.
But yes, it connects the mainland to a boat.
Mm. Yeah. And do you actually walk along it or drive along it?
Mm-hmm.
So it connects. So it's a connecting thing. It's a connection that takes you back to home, but also is related to Anna. And yet in the dream, there's a sense of I want to get onto this place that will connect me to the ferry, but I don't actually get as far as the ferry. Instead, I fly. And you described the flying as romantic. How else did the flying feel?
I don't know if I used the word romantic, although I guess it was. Or did I use that word? Anyway, it was exhilarating. It was just very exhilarating and joyful.
Okay, I heard you say romantic when you but that just might have been my ears when you told the dream. But very exhilarating. That's fantastic. Okay, so just backtracking slightly, when you're thinking about Vancouver, the ferry mm-hmm. boats take you from the mainland to the islands?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what's your association with the islands? Are they places that you like to go to or?
Yes, and often go on family vacations there.
Right, so that kind of explains the family and friends group behind you as well.
Could be.
Yeah. And have you any idea in the dream whether you were disappointed that you didn't get on the ferry boats, or was the exhilaration of flying, did that make up for that, or was it better than getting on the boat? Or?
Yeah, I don't even know that I was thinking about a boat. It's like I knew it was the type of bridge that leads to a boat, but I don't even know that I was thinking about a boat.
Right, okay. So it was a type of bridge, it was a connection, and it mm-hmm. was a connection that you associate with Anna because you associate her with ferry boats.
Yeah.
So the whole beginning of the dream is something like I'm leaving the mainland and I'm exploring this connection with something that reminds me of Anna. Mm-hmm. And I'm aware of friends and family behind me, but I'm ahead. And mm-hmm. then I meet Anna and I take off on a fly and have a very exhilarating experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's a sense of this dream may be the first part of a dream often states the issue that the rest of the dream or the situation that the rest of the dream is going to go on and explore. So the situation to me seems to be I'm exploring my connection, maybe in the waking world with Anna, but when we think of a dream and we look at everyone and everything in a dream as representing something about ourselves, it's more mm-hmm. about this dream about making a connection with things that you associate with Anna. So if we go to Anna, mm-hmm. How would you describe her? Is it her?
Mm-hmm. It's her.
Her energy.
Or
personality.
Yeah. I think very um, Well, the first thing that comes to mind is confident in her sexuality. And then also very warm and maybe very impulsive.
Love it. That's great. So when you say confident in her sexuality, it's interesting that later on you're confident that you were going to land, but you didn't. You crashed. So we've got a double on the confidence there. And the in, a little bit impulsive maybe works in with the flying instead of getting on the boat.
Yes, maybe.
Yeah. So when you think about yourself, where are you on the level of impulsive or not impulsive?
Not very.
And where are you on the level of warm and not warm? You sound very warm to me, but
Yeah, I think so.
yeah. And confidence in your sexuality?
Less than Anna.
Less than Anna, yeah. So often a character will be in our dream to represent a part of ourself. And sometimes that part of ourself can be a part we know about. Sometimes it can be more in the shadows, more in the unconscious. And so you may, and that person can also represent issues that you're exploring. So, one of the issues there is impulsive at one end of the scale versus not very impulsive at the other end of the scale. So the dream could be exploring how impulsive I, Molly, am or aren't, and how I feel about this and how it's affecting my life.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah, we will definitely focus on that one. And the other one is a question mark over what level of confidence you've got in your sexuality, which may or may not go along with the idea of exploring impulsivity as well. Yeah. And yet, in the dream, when you make that connection with Anna, you hold her hand, and the minute you make that connection, you've gone from on a gangplank looking for connection to holding a hand, making a connection. And once that connection is made, you're up in the air and it's very exhilarating. So, making a connection with this part of yourself, I know there's Anna in real life too, but we're going deeper and looking at yourself. Yeah. Making a connection with this part of yourself that might be, maybe, could be more impulsive and maybe could be a little bit more confident about your sexuality. When you make that connection, it has a really exhilarating and wonderful feeling. And yet, when you try to explain Anna to your family, you misgender her. How did you feel about that in the dream?
I noticed it, and I noticed myself doing it twice. And I felt confused about it. Like I was surprised that that came out of my mouth.
And in waking life, in real life, how would your friends and family react to you misgendering someone? Would it be something they would just laugh off or accept or be confused about?
Probably they would just laugh it off. I think it felt more like it had to do with me explaining her existence to them.
Yeah. And how would they in waking life, how would they respond to you being connected with Anna the person, not Anna within yourself?
I want to say this brief, like just in brief, fine, but not 100%.
Yeah. So there's a sort of they have a lack of confidence and you have a lack of confidence in their response about it. Do you think the misgendering was to try to appeal to them? Oh, she's not a she, she's a he.
Yeah, like not intentionally, but that's what comes to mind.
Yeah. So once you've got that sense in a dream of it's not intentional, of course, you're also recognizing an unconscious reaction or pattern, and that can
Yeah,
be.
it almost felt like I was recognizing the unconscious pattern while I was having the dream.
That's fantastic. That's really good. That's really insightful. and you did it twice just to be sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So you've got that sense of, particularly because you're ahead in the dream, the family and friends are behind. It's like, I've got to, if we're talking about them in the waking life, I've got to bring them up to speed with this. But I am aware of an unconscious pattern, or now becoming conscious pattern, of trying to explain it away to, and I'm confused why I would do this, why I would not want to describe Anna as she is, or describe my relationship to Anna as it is. I'm confused why I would do that, but I notice that I do it when I'm trying to explain my situation. And that may mean that consciously you're totally happy with referring to Anna as she or whatever, but that there's an unconscious voice that is not confident about this.
Yes, and you know, when you said all that, it made me feel like it actually extends beyond that. Like, there's also probably something there that's like, that situation maybe is a good way to represent it in my dream, but there's probably other things where I forget how you just phrased it, but maybe where I feel not confident explaining something, and so that I end up not quite saying it.
Yes,
accurately.
Yeah. And that's a lovely insight, Molly, because that's what we all tend to do. We might focus a certain issue on a certain situation in our life, but it usually applies to just about everything. You know, whatever's an issue for it, I'll show it here at work, I'll show it in my relationships, I'll show it in my, I'll show it everywhere until I get it. So right up front at the front of the dream, you've now made that connection again with the fact that you sometimes have an unconscious drive to, which you're becoming more aware of, to misrepresent something, to explain it away, to make it more comfortable for other people, to make it more, how would you finish that sentence? Yep.
Yeah, that sounds right. to make it more comfortable for other people.
Even though you're totally comfortable where you are with perhaps being unusual and quirky, but you're wanting to make it more comfortable for people that are your average go-to cats and dogs, maybe?
Maybe. Also to protect myself from their reaction.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just writing that down, sorry, to come back to. What would their reaction be?
I mean, we're talking broadly here, right?
Yes.
So like all possible scenarios, maybe upset with me in some way.
Yeah. So you're noticing through your dream, no matter how conscious you are of it in waking life, that the reason that you will tend to misrepresent something that's happening in your life is because you want to protect yourself from other people's reactions. So it's important to you to have other people accept you. And so you will try to give them an image that you think that they would like. Is that what you're saying?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes. You and a million other people listening to this probably is a very common
thing. I don't love that, but yes.
No, none of us love that. But when you are unusual and quirky, it's not really a great approach to go. It's life is sweeter when you find that point of feeling confident enough to be who you are and be authentic, isn't it? But still very, very difficult to do. But I love that. All this unconscious stuff is becoming less unconscious in your dreams. It's kind of like you're ready to really grapple with this and birth it into a more conscious, which is really lovely. Can you see now why those animals come from so far away so quickly to land right beside you? It's that sense of, recognizing this about myself. No, I am unusual, quirky. It's right here. This is my animal instinct. This is who I really am. I'm not your cat and dog. So why am I trying to be your cat and dog to please everyone else so that they don't respond in ways that I wouldn't know how to handle, or I might lose my family or friends or my position or whatever?
Yeah, maybe so.
Maybe so, maybe not. It's up to you. But just keying back there, when you were in connection with the Anna part of yourself, that impulsive, confident part of yourself, it did have an exhilarating, wonderful, flying kind of feeling.
Yeah.
What's the opposite to flying?
Maybe falling, what I did next.
You did, didn't you? Yeah. Because some people, it's always, you know, it's never talking about logical opposites. Some people would say, oh, the opposite of flying is being grounded or whatever. So I really wanted to hear that. It was the opposite to what you've got. So when you look in a dream, often you can look and find two opposites in a dream. So you've got flying and you've got, well, not just falling, you've got crashing. Crashing.
Yeah, crashing.
Right. So that can then represent an issue in your life too. It's, you know, how much do I fly? How much do I crash? Or how much do I fear flying? How much do I fear crashing? So therefore, how much do I kind of avoid a bit of both? How much might I step away from exhilaration in order not to crash?
But then I end up crashing.
Yeah, but you end up crashing anyway.
That's so. It was right when we let go hands and I decided to land that I crashed.
You crashed, yeah. So there's a letting go. So was there a situation a couple of days before your dream where you let go of something or were thinking about letting go of something?
Maybe thinking.
Letting go of thinking, maybe.
No, sorry. I mean, maybe I was thinking of letting go of something.
All right. Okay. Yes. All right. So it was something that might have come up for consideration in the dream. I'm thinking of letting go for something. Over to you, dream, to have a look at this. Well, you could connect with it and you could fly and be impulsive and be confident about your sexuality and feel exhilarated, or you could crash. So it's investigating something that you're thinking of letting go and looking at, well, what are the options here?
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm thinking, you know, just looking at one of those issues, the impulsivity, particularly when you say you're not very impulsive, which is like the complete opposite to impulsive. There's a sense of I want to be impulsive in my life. But if I let go of that, like I let go of Anna's hand, if I let go of being impulsive, what will happen to me? I'm afraid that I will crash. I'm confident that I can land, but actually, I'm afraid that I'll crash.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that sort of brings us back to I'm feeling that it's not good to be, consciously or unconsciously, I feel that I shouldn't be impulsive, because if I'm impulsive, I can tell myself that I land on my feet, but I'm actually frightened of crashing. So that sort of puts you back more into the corner of, you know, I really tend to be not very impulsive because I'm frightened of the end result.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, and that's the point in the dream where all the animals zoom in very quickly. So that's the point in the point in the dream where you kind of start to forget about people symbols like Anna, family, friends, and you go for direct animal instinct. Okay, so what am I up against here? I am surrounded by, in my fear of crashing, I'm surrounded by the fact that there's this mountainous energy within me that is unusual and quirky and not your average cat and dog. What am I going to do about this? That's what I'm frightened. I'm frightened that I won't land on my feet, that I'll crash and I'll have to, and that's what I'll find. I'll find myself in that position of being seen as being unusual or quirky. And yet there's this really interesting, two really interesting things that I love about that. One is that they're backlit. So what did the light behind them make it harder to see them? Did it give, what did the fact of the light behind them and the sense of being backlit, what did that feel like for you in the dream emotionally?
It made them more obscure and therefore scarier in the front. Like I was less sure, like shadowy, kind of like I wasn't sure what was going on. Like the fact that they were so dark in front made them scarier, but then also I could see this like very bright shining light behind them, and that made me realize that actually I could kind of slip past them and it would be fine.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So there's something about the glaring bright light of clarity or of seeing something that
it
actually
seemed like definitely a positive light.
Yeah, okay, that's lovely. So there's this really lovely positive light, but when I see this positive light, I'm actually I'm actually quite scared because things look darker than they are.
Because when you get, like the light shining from behind made the things, the objects in front of me dark on the side I was of them, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does, yeah. And yet when you went round them or past them, they became less scary and you could see them more clearly?
Well, I realized as I got up slowly and kind of like tried to like sneak past them. And then as I was doing that, I realized it would be okay and I would get past them. But then just as I got past them was when the scene changed and I was in this library. So
yes, yeah.
I didn't really see anything after I got past them. I was just in the library.
Okay, that's lovely. We'll come to the library. I love it. So there's a sense of, okay, I'm unusual, I'm quirky, I'm scared of this, but I see the light. The light is lovely. It's positive. And it's really actually showing me what one thing this light is showing me is how is how dark and shadowy and unsure I am, because you said you were less sure, unsure I am about myself. And yet when I slip past, I can see that they're not as scary as it was. So there's a sense of, as we all do, when we suddenly become aware of something that has been deep and dark and scary in our lives, and we suddenly have a light shine on it, the first response can be, oh my God, is it really as dark? Is it, that's even worse than I was thinking. That is really frightening. I'm really seeing it in its full glory, and I don't like that at all.
Well, I couldn't see it though, because the side facing me was dark.
That's true. Sorry, you're right. Yes. So it's this, yeah, so it's lighting the back, but not the front. And at the beginning of your dream, you had your family and friends behind you, and you were in front as well. Backlit. Anything jumping to you from backlit?
No, it was just a really stark, like very dark and very light, kind of like almost black and then like bright white yellow colors. But nothing, no particular associations with backlit.
Yeah. So just total contrast, really. The contrast of the light made what you were trying to see really difficult to see. Yeah. And then we have the scene shift and to a totally positive ending. So that positive ending follows that sense you had of, once I got past them, they weren't that dangerous.
Yeah.
So something in my life that once I see it and I zoom into it and I get past the fear and I see the light, but I realize it's not quite as dangerous as I had worried, as I had feared. In fact, it opens up to me being with Rosanna in a library of children's books.
Yep.
Right, which felt really positive. So Rosanna, I think you said, was a cousin?
Yes, she's my cousin.
Yeah. So how would you describe Rosanna?
Well, she's a very quirky person herself.
Good. Yeah.
In a way that I think is positive.
Yeah.
It's something I appreciate about her. And she's very warm and friendly. One thing I do associate with her, or that I thought about her recently, is that I know she wants to have kids, and she's in her late 30s and maybe hasn't found herself in a situation yet where that's happening. And I'm also at a point in my life where I'm thinking of having kids, and I immediately, when I woke up from the dream, I thought of that. So I don't know, I'll just throw that in there.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. That was going to be my next question to you. Where were you at with the idea of kids? So you're in a library for children's books. So there's also that emphasis there on kids and children. So everyone in a dream represents an aspect of oneself. So here you are again with quirky. But what I love about this is that you, as you said, you really appreciate that in her. So it's a kind of reminder in the dream of, yeah, that's right, I've got to remember that. I do appreciate quirky people. I appreciate my own quirkiness.
Although I am realizing also not everyone in my family appreciates that about her.
Yeah, right.
Or so, not everyone in our extended family, I should say.
Yeah. So we're back to that issue of how much do I reveal my quirkiness to my family, because I'm feeling that I need to protect myself from their responses. Is Rosanna pretty authentic and open with her quirkiness, or does she try to protect herself? She is, yeah. So because she's more open about it, there's maybe that through line in the dream of, if I can get past my fears and not see my quirkiness as dangerous, that maybe I can be more like Rosanna. I can draw up the Rosanna part of myself, who is more out there with her quirkiness and not so concerned about the reactions of other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she also is thinking about having kids as you are. So there's that overlap there too. Of you thinking, how can I, an unusual, quirky person, not your usual go-to cat or dog, how am I going to bring children into my life? And in the dream, your dream is going, well, let's start off with children's books in the library. Let's go down that direction. But, you know, you also mentioned that you had drawn a picture of a walrus in 2017. So is there any part of you that's thinking about children's books and illustrating?
No, but I do teach art to children.
Right. Okay. So you teach
and
art.
Roseanne is also a teacher.
Right. Okay. So you both teach art to children. So when you were
well, she teaches something else, but anyway, it's just another association.
Oh, right.
Or I think even in my dream, it sort of made sense. Oh, because we were both starting at a university where they had this library. Like we were both there for kind of professional reasons.
Yeah. So in the dream, you were at the university for professional reasons. Do you know what they were?
We were just starting. I mean, I guess for education reasons, but we were starting at the university. I don't know why.
So it was a new beginning at the university, and yet there was the library on campus, the children's book library.
Yeah. Mm.
So there's a sense of I'm starting, which is also a birth to something new in my life in the dream. I'm starting to learn something new. I'm ready for a new path of learning. As is Rosanna, and this may be around being out there and quirky, or it may be around learning about having kids, or it may be around learning to be more like Rosanna and not worry so much about protecting my self from other people's responses.
Yep, could be all of it.
Could be all of these, yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you a really random question. What might children's books, how might children's books approach this subject?
Which subject? Sorry, could you clarify?
Yeah, the subject of starting something new or being quirky and unusual or not worrying about what other people think.
Well, like how might a children's book approach that?
Yes.
Well, one of my favorite children's books is kind of about that.
Okay.
Actually.
I knew it felt like a really odd question as I asked it, but I just had a feeling it was going to lead somewhere. What's the book?
It's called Julian is a Mermaid.
Ah.
I recommend it to those listening.
Good. And what's the essence of the, what's the message of the book?
There's a little boy or a child named Julian with their grandmother on the New York City subway, and they see a group of women dressed as mermaids, and Julian gets really excited and then ends up dressing up as a mermaid back at the grandmother's place, and then is afraid that the grandma is going to get mad when she sees, but instead she takes him to the Coney Island Mermaid Parade to be with other mermaids.
Oh, that's absolutely lovely. I love children's books.
So illustrations are so beautiful.
Are there any sea lions and walruses in there?
No, but it's still sea creatures.
Yeah.
And it's still about being quirky and then being accepted, actually, or finding other people who are quirky like you. Yeah,
it totally is. I absolutely love that. Sea lions, walruses, and mermaids. So what you described there you described an unexpected ending there, that Julian was worried that he was going to be judged for he or she, I lost the plot there.
Well, I was being vague because I'm not sure what the gender of Julian is supposed to be. But Julian is born a little boy.
He's born a boy, okay. So there was that sense of Julian was really worried about how he was going to be judged. We'll give him a he for the moment, how he's going to be judged for his grandmother. But despite his worst expectations, she accepted him and she upped the game by taking him to Coney Island to the Mermaid Parade.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the end of your dream is saying to you, our dreams are a snapshot of where our mindset is on that particular night. So it doesn't tell you what to do. It says, look, look, this is where you're up to. And you've just been processing all that conscious and unconscious stuff for the last 2 days and comparing it to your life. And this is where we are today. And where you and Molly were today at the end of that dream was, maybe, just maybe, there's a book here. There's something I can learn. There's a Julian story. Maybe the how I'm expecting other people to react when I really tell them some more, when I'm really more authentic with them about myself. Maybe that's not how it's going to be turn out. Maybe there's going to be an amazing supportive ending to all of this.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's funny because the last thing I remember in the dream is realizing that I ought to be looking up books for the art classes I teach in real life.
Yes.
Like, oh, here's, oh, here, this is what I ought to be doing with my time there.
Yeah, well, it applies across the board. So, you know, okay. If you had that sense with the art classes, there's a part of you thinking, maybe I can teach the children in my art classes to also be more accepting of themselves and have greater expectations and more accepting of others. And exploring their own mermaid identities, there may be that sense that you want to introduce more children to that. But we can also be driven by what's important to us as well. So your, you know, that impetus, that impulsive, maybe even impulsiveness to want to take the children, your art classes down that kind of route, looking at those kind of books and looking at Julian type books, is you wanting to explore that for yourself as well. If and when you do decide to have a child of your own, you, from what you've said now, that Julian book would be, you know, a number one read right from birth.
Yeah.
So what you want to teach your children, you need to role model yourself as well. So if your child or children see you trying to not be a mermaid in front of your family and friends, what lesson are they going to learn from that?
Well, right, that it's not okay to be a mermaid when you're a mermaid.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, to me, the thought that you're at a time in your life when you're thinking, do I or don't I have children at this stage of my life? What route do I take to achieve that? Is you know, the big question mark over that is, if I go down that route and I want to do it lovingly and well and compassionately, then I have to already role model the person that I would like my children to base their lives upon. You know, I have to be the mermaid now if I'm going to have children that I want to bring up as metaphorical mermaids as well. So, you know, and there may or may not, on top of that, be then this sense of, I don't want to. One of the things that's one of the cons about having children in my life is that my friends and family are not going to support me, that I'm going to find myself trying to express a slightly different picture in order not to suffer what I imagine would be their response to me, rather than me saying, you know what, I'm doing it anyway because this is me.
Hmm. Yeah, there might be a piece there. I mean, there is.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the standout bits in your dream, apart from the animals and the connection that you've made with the sea lions, the walruses and the mermaid, is that sense right in the middle of, I think I'm going to land on my feet. I'm pretty confident I can land on my feet. Oh, no, I'm going to crash in the dark and fall. So it is sort of working on confidence and recognizing that there's a part of yourself that believes that you're always going to crash. Whereas the dream is not saying this is what's going to happen. It's saying there is a part of me that does not believe I can land on my feet, that thinks that I'm going to crash.
Right, right. And it's a less conscious part than the part that, because my thought, I remember having a thought in my head, oh, I can definitely land on my feet.
Yes.
But
that's,
then I didn't.
That's absolutely correct. The unconscious has the fear.
Yeah.
And as you probably know well, when we make decisions in life, we make them consciously, but our unconscious mind has the greater sway. So you might make a decision about something in your life where you think, I can confidently land on my feet with this one. But if your unconscious is going, no, you're going to crash, you're going to fall, you'll find that you sabotage it or you make a different decision because you think that it's not going to work out well. So it's good to know these things about ourselves. And then once you've really pinpointed aspects of your unconscious mind that aren't working for you, you can then, that's the point where you introduce the dream alchemy to change that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm sensing from what, you know, we're talking about here, and bearing in mind that there's lots and lots of people listening in, I'm sensing that these issues are applying at many different levels of your life.
Yeah, I think so.
Is there anything else that you would like to either ask or comment upon or enlighten us upon before we move to a dream alchemy?
No, I mean, I'll probably think of it right after.
Yeah, that's good. So with Dream Alchemy, I'm sure you're aware of it, Molly, but this is for people listening in. Just a reminder that what Dream Alchemy is where we look at a dream and we do one of two things. We either see something in the dream that's really positive and we create an exercise that really amps up that positives and gives it the energy and kind of encourages our unconscious mind to go, yeah, you're on it. This is it. Build it up. Or, and perhaps more powerfully, we pick a part of the dream that shows an unconscious limitation. So it might be a fear. It might be a pattern of behavior, like you're one of, I'll misgender, I'll misrepresent something in order to protect myself from people's responses. You pick up a pattern, an unconscious pattern that you suspect is not really serving you very well in life. And in Dream Alchemy, you use an exercise using the symbols of the dream to basically reprogram your unconscious mind or rewire your brain to change that pattern so that it's not interfering with your waking life. So if you were to pick one thing, there are many things in this dream that we could go with, and there are many dream alchemy, but if you pick one thing that you think stands out to you that you would like to change within yourself from this dream, what would it be?
Because before you said one thing I'd like to change, because I mean, the thing that stands out to me the most strongly in this dream is the walruses, but, or the sea lions or whatever they are.
Yeah.
But I don't thing that I'd like to change. I would like to I'd like to probably work with the unconscious part of me that thinks I'm going to fall.
Yes, yeah. So you can do both on the side, because you're an artist. You could do some artwork around sea lions, walruses and mermaids all together in a lovely light and accepting each other, you know, so you can kind of play with that, and that would be good. And particularly because those symbols appeal to you, and they are amazing symbols in the dream. So you could almost, you know what, Molly, I'm seeing when you had to crash fall, which was your fear of landing, fear of crashing, and straight away, what crashed beside you? Sea lions and walruses. So they are actually a symbol of the same thing.
Mm.
Right. If I'm unusual and quirky, I will crash. There's the fear. And we want to change that. So my suggested alchemy, if you don't mind doing, art is work for you from what I'm hearing.
No, not at all.
You don't mind doing, okay. So to do
it's not work.
Great. So to use art in whatever way you like to transform that scary, dark feeling of the backlit sea lions and walruses in your dream, to transform that into fully lit, beautiful, totally unusual and quirky, bring in sea lion and walruses, bring in the mermaid as well, and maybe even some kind of little symbol from the Hooligan book. And Hooligan book.
And his name, anyway.
I'm sorry, I'm getting too excited. I'm mispronouncing, I'm misgendering as well, probably, but mispronouncing. So yeah, to bring all that, so that what you're ending up with is using your art to transform backlit, dark, scary, I'll crash, into fully lit, beautiful, mermaid, unusual, quirky, all friends accepting. Bit of Rosanna energy thrown in there too. Isn't this lovely kind of feeling? And even, you know, you may be picturing something already, and if you're picturing that, go with that. Or otherwise, you could do it in the style of a children's book, because it's then bringing it to that level of wanting to have children in my life, and how amazingly, poignantly and accurately children's books can teach children deep lessons of life.
You know, I am having an interesting experience with this suggestion, because it's making me realize how much I love this image that my dream already created of like the very dark front of these creatures and the bright back. And I'm feeling like this internal resistance to changing it. So maybe it's an internal resistance to dealing with that fear. I don't know. But in the art I make, I tend to like to have like a kind of, it's funny that I would have this fear of quirkiness, because in the art I make, like the most recent thing I did, it was a bouquet of flowers, but they were wilted. Like I like that dark side. So it feels off to me to try and remove it.
Okay, yeah, no, definitely don't do that then. So you want to preserve, okay, so you want to preserve that sense of I'm unusual, I'm quirky, I like my dark side. Sometimes I see that dark side as slightly dangerous, but in the dream I get past it and it's not as dangerous as it looks. So that was a wonderful observation you made, Molly. It's more that the backlit darkness is more the adding to that sense of what's unusual and quirky about me, Molly. Unusual, quirky, yeah. Love the dark side.
Yeah, that feels more right.
Okay, that's great. So in that case, maybe do a little bit, when I say a little bit of art, I mean, like you were doing, a storybook for a film, but it's this, a storybook for a book. So in other words, only like thumbnail sketches of a different version of the Julian book. But this version is about getting in contact with your unusual, quirky and dark side and taking it home to grandmother or parents or whoever. And them going, oh, no, I love this about you. This is great. Let's go to the Coney Island Dark Side Festival or whatever it is.
Well, it could be a story of a walrus or sea lion who spilled ink on themselves.
Yeah, I love it. You're on it already. So would you say, just for clarity for our listeners, that one of the things that you do is try to protect your family from your dark side, that's one of the things that you misrepresent?
Yeah, that could be true.
So there may or may not be a fear of wanting to show that side more in your life. So amplifying it more by doing this dream alchemy of really bringing out the dark side, is this is something I want to show myself and show the world and indulge in, is also then putting your more authentic self out there.
Yeah, and I think I associate dark with, I mean, this is going to sound funny maybe for some listeners, and I hope they don't take it the wrong way, but I associate dark with quirky in some ways.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And did you notice how much you tried to protect yourself from your listeners there?
Yep.
You can't stop doing that, Molly. There's probably, imagine it differently, there's nearly all of them, because there's always an exception, there's nearly all of them going, yeah, I love this, I've got a dark side, I've been dying to show my dark side to people, I'm going to go out and do that too.
Right.
That's fantastic. You're definitely onto it. What would you say was the one main takeaway that you've got from working with your dream today?
Well, I do look forward to listening to this so that I can remember. But I think the whole piece we fleshed out of sort of having the impulsivity and the quirkiness as things that I maybe fear or try and keep away from other people, and maybe the ways which I'm experimenting with just jumping into them.
Yes. Yeah. That's fantastic. That's really lovely that you've got that. And the more that you're making it, the more that you make it conscious by talking about it now and by re-listening to the episode when it comes out as well and thinking about it afterwards, the more you're bringing that into consciousness, the more those shifts and changes are happening, and doing the dream alchemy will really push that along as well. Thank you so much for being a wonderful guest on the Dream Show, Molly. I'm sure, you know, everyone would have enjoyed that. I enjoyed that one.
Good. I'm glad. It's definitely been a pleasure.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
And there we go. That was Molly and her dream. I loved that thing that happened when we were discussing the dream alchemy there. And it actually led Molly to a further insight. And that is something that that creating the dream alchemy can do, that when you start to explore the transformation that that you might want to make, that you suddenly realize something about, oh, actually, maybe I don't want to change my dark side. Maybe that's actually part of myself in Molly's example that I really want to accentuate and keep. It's part of my quirkiness. It's part of what makes me unusual. So creating a dream alchemy can actually deliver further insight. But her question was also correct. You may have heard her ask, I don't know whether it's my unconscious or my limiting, I forget what word to use, my limiting behaviors themselves, which are reacting against the idea of doing this transformation. So sometimes you'll set a dream alchemy practice or you'll have one set for you and you will rebel against it and not want to do it. And that's when it's important then to sit down and have that deeper discussion. Am I rebelling against it because it's something in my life that I actually don't want to change for good reasons, or is this my unconscious mind sabotaging me from making the transformation? And in Molly's case, we talked it through and we came out on the side of it actually helped her to learn even more, that she wanted to validate her dark side and bring it out as part of her quirkiness and her unusual nature, not your average go-to cat or dog. I think many of you listening, simply because you're interested in exploring dreams, are going to very much relate to a lot of what we explored there, perhaps not being your average go-to cat or dog. So our next episode of The Dream Show is episode 263, which comes out on the 1st of December 2022, if you're listening to this in real time. If you'd like to be a guest on The Dream Show, all you have to do is go to my website, go to janeteresa.com, go to the menu, and under podcast The Dream Show, there's a drop-down box, and there's one that says be a guest on The Dream Show, and you can take it from there. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.